It's Thursday, July 2nd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. First of all, I want to wish everyone in the United States a happy Independence Day weekend, and a special happy birthday wish to the United States of America, who turns 233 years old this Saturday. Hey, baby, you don't look a day past 221. Because of the 4th of July holiday and the federal holiday on Friday, there will be no Daily Audio Stash podcast for tomorrow. However, I do have some stories queued up on the Daily Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org, so check that out. And speaking of the Stash blog, we've been having quite an interesting conversation based on my commentary that I posted yesterday asking about how far a medical marijuana bill could chop away the patient's rights before we shouldn't support that bill. It's quite a contentious discussion, and it's brought a lot of comments up on the blog. Based on that, I've added a new Stash pot quiz poll that came out at 420 today, and it asks what things you'd give up in a medical marijuana bill and still support it. There's 20 different choices there, and you can choose as many as you like. And I want to reiterate that I am never against a medical marijuana bill. Far from it. However, there are some things you can do to a medical marijuana bill that will make my support a little bit more lukewarm, if you get my drift. So it's an interesting discussion. I think it's one that's been long overdue in the cannabis community, and I hope you join us on the Stash blog this weekend. I also want to point out that the Normal national calendar is coming along just great. We've got three chapters that have added their Google calendars to our Google calendar. Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Kansas City Normal, and Oregon Normal are now online at normal.org/calendar. If you'd like to get your chapter's events up on the Normal National website, you need to build your own Google Calendar. Send me an email at chapters@normal.org, and I'll send you some very explicit instructions, complete with pictures, to help you get started. And speaking of Normal chapters, we want to give a shout out to the folks in Salt Lake City, Utah, who are working on putting a chapter together, and the state of Maryland. Got some emails today from Maryland, and believe it or not, Connecticut. That's right, Connecticut, where we had the bad story that came out a couple months ago and had to disband the Connecticut chapter there. There are some people who want to reform that chapter. So if you're interested in getting involved in the Nutmeg State, send me an email at stash@normal.org. And I wish to address a complaint that I got from Australia today. An Australian had joined Normal, and he sent an email of complaint wanting his money back because Normal didn't do anything for Australia. Let me put this to rest for just one moment here. You people out there that think Normal swoops down from the sky and suddenly creates chapters in your area, that's not how it works. Normal is not a top-down organization. It's a bottom-up organization. It's a grassroots organization. You form your Normal chapter and you affiliate with National. It's up to you. So if you don't have a chapter in your area, it's not our fault. It's your fault. You need to organize. We'll be glad to help, and we'll give you all of the information and research and resources that we've got here at Normal. but it's all up to you. You have to stand up for your rights. Now, coming up on your Daily Audio Stash, we start with your hemp headlines, beginning with the story of Oklahoman Will Foster, who was sentenced to 93 years in an Oklahoma prison for growing marijuana, and the strange turns his case has taken since he's been paroled in California. It's a very weird case. We also take a look at the case of NFL wide receiver Dante Stallworth and the way the media is playing up the role of marijuana in his accidental killing of a man in a traffic accident. We go to the state of Rhode Island, where their Senate has approved a committee to study the effectiveness of marijuana prohibition. Good luck on that one, guys. And a rare case of hemp hysteria. It's a strange cousin to reefer madness we don't see very often, but this hemp hysteria comes straight from my hometown of Portland, Oregon, and I just gotta debunk it. In our first segment today, we go to Southern California for our Southern California scene with Terry Joyce. She brings us the Patient Advocacy Network's DJ Coute and a man by the name of Henry Hemp, who's reporting from a protest at the courthouse in San Diego. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got more winners from the American Marijuana Music Awards. This is the best rock song today by Winter Springs, entitled Not Backing Down. And in our final segment, Cannabis Conversations, we speak with Norma Sapp, the executive director of Oklahoma Normal, and her reporting on that Will Foster case in Oklahoma. I hope you have a great 4th of July weekend. Get yourself some hot dogs, apple pie, and fireworks, and enjoy the time off. Now it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. ABC's John Stossel takes note of Oklahoma's Will Foster. Back in 1998, for a 2020 special entitled Sex, Drugs, and Consenting Adults, I interviewed Will Foster, who had been sentenced to 93 years in jail for growing marijuana to treat his arthritis. After his case got attention, Foster's sentence was reduced to 20 years, and after several years in prison, he was given parole. But now he's being hounded again, the Drug War Chronicle reports. Although Foster settled into a law-abiding life in Northern California, picking up a new family along the way, and successfully completed what the state of California considered an adequate parole period, that wasn't good enough for the state of Oklahoma. Upset that California officials hadn't kept him on parole as long as they would have, Oklahoma parole officials demanded that he return to that benighted state to finish his parole. And when he, perhaps understandably, declined, Oklahoma issued a warrant for his arrest. Foster has been sitting in a California prison for the last 16 months, apparently at a cost of $100,000 to taxpayers, while Governor Schwarzenegger decides whether to extradite him to Oklahoma. Why do we persecute people for a victimless crime? Because prison guard unions lobby like hell. Because well-meaning parents think pot will hook their kids on heroin. Because moralists think they have the right to tell people how to live their lives. Because Democrats wanted to look tough on crime in the 1980s. Because Republicans don't like hippies. Because America has a nasty streak of racism and classism. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a rhetorical question, wasn't it? NFL's Stallworth had pot in his system when he struck and killed pedestrian. Oh yeah, he was legally drunk too. Let me begin by quoting Normal's Principles of Responsible Use, Section 2, No Driving. The responsible cannabis consumer does not operate a motor vehicle or other dangerous machinery while impaired by cannabis, nor, like other responsible citizens, while impaired by any other substance or condition, including some medicines and fatigue. Although cannabis is said by most experts to be safer than alcohol and many prescription drugs with motorists, responsible cannabis consumers never operate motor vehicles in an impaired condition. Public safety demands not only that impaired drivers be taken off the road, but that objective measures of impairment be developed and used rather than chemical testing. All right, now on to the alarmist headline. Sources: Stallworth had pot in system. NFL player struck, killed pedestrian. Miami Beach, Florida. Sources said NFL player Dante Stallworth was found to have marijuana in his system, as well as alcohol, on the morning he struck and killed a pedestrian with his car. Local 10 sources close to the case said a toxicology report showed Stallworth was not only legally drunk before hitting and killing 59-year-old Mario Reyes, but he also had marijuana in his system. Sources said that the Reyes family knew about the toxicology report and the marijuana before signing off on Stallworth's plea deal. Under the deal, Stallworth pleaded guilty to DUI manslaughter charges and was sentenced to 30 days in prison. He also paid an undisclosed settlement to the family of the victim. Local 10 has also learned that there is a surveillance video of the March 14th incident on the MacArthur Causeway that showed Reyes illegally crossing the expressway and darting out in front of Stallworth's car. A court hearing is set for Thursday morning to determine if that videotape can be unsealed and released to the media. Police said Stallworth's blood alcohol level was 0.126% after the crash. Florida's legal limit is 0.08%. According to a statement by his attorney, marijuana was detected in Stallworth's blood following the crash. Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano gave an excellent presentation in Aspen on the science of blood testing for marijuana. I asked him for a statement on this Stallworth incident. THC blood levels are generally an indicator of recent use in the past few hours, which could infer impairment, but go no further than infer. However, there's a small body of research indicating that residual levels of THC may be detected in the blood at low levels, under 2 nanograms per milliliter and typically under 1 nanogram per milliliter, for 48 plus hours in some extreme cases. So, some of this would hinge on what the THC blood levels are. If they are well above 2 nanograms per milliliter, then the chances are this person recently used cannabis, and one could speculate that they may have also been impaired to some unknown degree at that time, but at best, it's speculation, hardly anything definitive. So what we have here is the traditional media hyping the marijuana angle on this tragic death, resulting from someone we know for a scientific and legal fact was too impaired by alcohol to be driving. Well, unless Stallworth is such an alcoholic that a 0.126 BAC doesn't impair him, but regardless, he's legally drunk. Also, we should note that the victim in this case was shown on traffic surveillance to be illegally crossing the expressway and had darted out in front of Stallworth's car when he was hit. It's not hard to imagine that even a teetotaler driving down that expressway would have hit the victim. Yet another reason you shouldn't smoke and drive. You may be the greatest driver in the world, stoned, but that's not going to stop some drunk from bumping into you, some idiot from slamming on his brakes in front of you, your taillight deciding to burn out at night, or some fool running in front of your car on the MacArthur Causeway at dark 30 in the morning. Rhode Island to study the failure of marijuana prohibition. From the Providence Journal. Providence, Rhode Island. Backers of the successful drive to legalize the sale of marijuana for medicinal purposes have now won Senate approval for a study of what, if anything, is being accomplished by criminalizing use of the plant for any other purpose. The resolution would create a special Senate commission to study the prohibition of marijuana made up of, quote, elected members of the Rhode Island Senate, local law enforcement officials, physicians, nurses, social workers, academic leaders in the field of addiction studies, advocates or patients in the state's medical marijuana program, advocates working in the field of prisoner reentry, economists, and members of the general public, end quote. The bill poses a number of specific questions for the study, among them, quote, whether and to what extent Rhode Island youth have access to marijuana despite current laws prohibiting its use. Whether adults' use of marijuana has decreased since marijuana became illegal in Rhode Island in 1918. Whether the current system of marijuana prohibition has created violence in the state of Rhode Island against users or among those who sell marijuana. Whether the proceeds from the sales of marijuana are funding organized crime, including drug cartels. Whether those who sell marijuana on the criminal market may also sell other drugs, thus increasing the chances that youth will use other illegal substances. And the legislation also questions the dangers associated with marijuana resulting from it being sold on the criminal market, including if it is ever contaminated or laced with other drugs. End quote. The panel has until January 31, 2010 to report its findings and recommendations to the Senate, though it would stay alive through January 31, 2014. What a nice 42nd birthday present for me in 2010. Yet another report from yet another study on marijuana. Since every other study and report from every other government, from the 1894 British East India Hemp Commission, to the 1942 LaGuardia Commission, to the 1972 Schaefer Commission, to the 1999 Institute of Medicine report, has reported virtually the same thing, let me answer Rhode Island's questions in advance. About 17 of 20 Rhode Island youth will tell you it is easy or fairly easy to obtain marijuana despite prohibition. Adults' use of marijuana in Rhode Island has most certainly increased since 1918, when few outside of Mexican migrants and black jazz musicians used it. The very definition of prohibition means that violence is the only way to solve disputes in the market. If selling marijuana is a criminal act, of course marijuana sales fund criminal enterprises. Most weed transactions involve sellers who sell only weed, but nothing stops some of them from selling other drugs to youth, and marijuana is sometimes contaminated with other drugs or with glass to increase weight.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Hemp hysteria from a former locksmith in Oregon. I get to post a whole lot of reefer madness stories here on the Stash, but it is rare that I get to post some
hemp hysteria.
This is from a piece entitled
The Hemp Deception,
written by John English here in Portland, Oregon, quote, a retired professional locksmith of 27 years and a member of Drug Watch International who has instituted a new approach of bringing his former out-of-control drug community to be family-friendly, end quote. I think in Spanish that new approach is called El Gringo es muy guano loco.
Most of us don't like liars. Lying by omission, by deception, is no less offensive. With hemp, deception's the rule. Honesty's the exception. Legislators and farmers don't know that at least 8 of the 9 founding officers and directors of the Hemp Industries Association, hemp's major U.S. trade group, are also vigorous pro-pot legalization advocates. That they don't know. That's intentional.
Don't you love it when they say, the people behind hemp, or medical marijuana, want to legalize pot? Well, look, if I think everyone should have access to high THC cannabis, how can I not support everyone's access to low THC hemp? Or patients' access to high THC cannabis? Am I supposed to say, sorry, I support legal pot, get that hemp crap out of my face? Suppose I believe in legalizing prostitution, and I form an organization that provides free HIV/AIDS testing for prostitutes. Even though you may disagree with legal prostitution, is it not a good thing to offer free AIDS testing? Is my AIDS testing organization a deception to get people to legalize prostitution? Of course not. Free AIDS testing is a good thing for society, regardless of my supposed personal views that legalized prostitution would also be a good thing. Likewise, support for industrial hemp is a good thing for society, independent from and regardless if you think legalized pot is a good thing.
On one hand, hemp promoters tell you that hemp is not marijuana, that it has amazing qualities, that hemp is the answer to the world's problems, whether it be hunger, pollution, health, fuel, or the economy. They've got the answer. It's hemp. On the other hand, behind your back, though, they're presenting this and an additional perspective to our youth. Our youth parrot these deceptions right back at us, but most of them know the intent of these deceptions.
Deception.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
It isn't deception if you're presenting true facts about hemp.
Legislators and farmers don't, though. But they don't read High Times like young people do, nor do they attend National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws conferences. They'd know if they did. Youth read High Times, though. They know. High Times readers are told what's being done right out front. They understand that to promote marijuana, hemp, its low THC content male counterpart, is only part of the comprehensive plan to make pot acceptable in the public's eyes. It's you, the parents, and the rest of mainstream America that these hempster hucksters are into deceiving. Providing for loved ones and all the duties adults must do to raise their children doesn't leave much time to investigate all the aspects of how the legalization movement is presenting drugs to your children. They count on that.
Remember that panel at NormalCon last year about how we need to get the kids to repeat facts about hemp to their parents so that the parents will accede to marijuana legalization? Or that article at High Times about the comprehensive plan to make pot acceptable? Yeah, me neither. But I may have been high at the time. The idea that we legalizers are, quote, presenting drugs to your children, end quote, would be funny if it weren't so insulting. Do you know how many high school kids I turn away every week who want to form normal chapters in their schools? Even though some of them are 18, and I firmly believe if you can vote and serve in the military, you can handle a joint? You prohibitionists need to explain how 84% of high school seniors telling us for decades that marijuana is easy or fairly easy to get isn't an indictment of your lack of concern for the children. You need to explain how 1 million teenagers dealing illegal marijuana in our schools is not the fault of your policies toward marijuana. You need to show us legalizers how our ideas would make things worse for the children regarding marijuana than the current situation under your prohibition.
Take, for example, hemp music, another surreptitious method of presenting hemp and marijuana as acceptable. Though they deny the connection to mainstream America, to our youth, they're saying just the opposite. While working for Normal, Eric Steenstra co-produced two pro-marijuana hemp albums, Hempilation and Hempilation 2, which features pro-pot bands performing their favorite weed classics, such as I Want to Take You Higher, I Wanna Get High, I Like Marijuana, Don't Step on the Grass, Sam, Who's Got the Herb, Convicted, Sweet Leaf, Smokin' Chiba Chiba, Champagne and Reefer, Legalize It, and It Stoned Me, Homegrown, High Time We Went, Pothead Pixies. There are other songs on this album of youth pollution, but the song titles aren't as explicit as these. If you doubt me, take a look and listen at the Hempilation album. The words, sometimes buried in the hard rock, and therefore somewhat hard to understand, but they're there. Or, if you don't know how children are being targeted, look up the lyrics. Better yet, go there and search the word hemp, or pot, or high. You won't believe the amazing flood of pot music targeting your children, and that's only part of it.
Now this one's a riot. There's no such thing as hemp music, you dolt. Hempilation was named that because hemp shares the mp phoneme found in the word compilation. Somehow, weedilation, potilation, marijuanilation, grassilation, ganjalation, cannibalation, and skunkilation didn't sound as nice. In fact, none of the songs on either Hempilation album had anything to do with hemp. Much like my Hemp Headlines is just an alliterative title and usually has little to do with hemp. Well, except today. Now, looking at your picture, John, you seem to be of the generation that was first surreptitiously deceived by these hemp songs. I mean, Champagne and Reefer, and If You're a Viper, they're old blues tunes and they probably predate you. Long-haired Country Boy, The Joker, 30 Days in the Hole, One Toke Over the Line, Rainy Day Women number 12 and 35, I Want to Take You Higher, Sweetleaf, and Two Rolling Stoned are right out of your era, John, not mine. So, John, how is it that you managed to escape our sticky, hempy siren song as a child?
Win people over. You can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Normal Con 2009. Yes, We Cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. Weed. Weed. Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. Okay, time to go back to beautiful, sunny Southern California and our good friend Terry Joyce. Hey, Terry, how's things going?
I'm doing really good. I'm actually, believe it or not, at the Beverly Hills Courthouse this morning, so I'm doing podcasts from the Beverly Hills Courthouse.
Well, we are talking to all sorts of people from courthouses today. A little bit later, we'll be talking to a correspondent that you found for me, a guy by the name of Henry Hemp. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Henry before we talk to him?
Well, yeah, you know, what's really interesting is Henry Hemp, I met him before he became Henry Hemp. He was known as Magic, which I don't think that's his real name either, but whatever.
And, it's California, right?
We watched the movie together. We worked on a movie together, and I was working for, you know, the putting the float together for the gay pride parade, and we were at the crunch time, the day before, you know, we were going to get it finished, and I needed help with putting the bed together, like hooking up everything in the floorboards and, you know, putting it all together on top of the truck. And I needed a friend, so I asked for Magic to come and help. And then he was so inspired, because he is a medical marijuana supporter, to be in the parade. Henry Hemp was born, and he's very much, he has a website, henryhemp.com. He's really, doing everything that he can to create awareness of hemp and medical marijuana. And, so he's actually down supporting the protest that's happening in San Diego today.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we have, DeJay Coutte from the Patient Advocacy Network. And, she's here to, be our monthly guest, and she has, lots of information to hear. So I want to introduce DeJay Coutte.
Hey, DeJay, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
So this situation down in San Diego, what's going on there with this protest, and what's the case all about?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know much about what this particular case is about. This appears to be a patient who needs to go to court, and he asked for some people to do court support with him. It's not really any different of a case than any of the other patients that got caught up in the, I believe it was called Operation, the one where they went and they hit all the delivery services.
Ah, okay.
So I think this is a court, this is one of the many cases that has happened as a result of that. What we really have going on in San Diego is, you know, as you know, the Supreme Court, has decided to drop, the lawsuit that San Diego County brought against the state, stating that the county did not want to implement the ID card program because they thought it was a violation of federal law to provide a medical marijuana ID card. Well, the Supreme Court tossed it out, said that they weren't going to hear it, and therefore the California Supreme Court ruling was upheld. And as a result of that, we've seen a lot of new movement in Southern California because, as you know, San Diego and San Bernardino counties were part of that lawsuit. As a result of that, both of those counties have now started to move forward with the ID card. Both of those counties also used the lawsuit as an excuse to not move forward with any type of dispensary regulations. So now they're back in the hot seat with the activists to implement the ID card and to actually draft regulations for how to ensure that there's safe access in those communities.
Oh, good, good. Well, we're glad to see that that movement is taking place, even in these reluctant counties like San Diego and San Bernardino. It's about time they followed the will of the people and the laws as they're written. Let's go down now to San Diego itself, and we'll speak to Henry Hemp, who's standing by there at the protests. Henry, how's it going down there?
Thank you, Russ. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much. We've got a real important case that's happening today down there in San Diego. You are down there covering this along with some other media. Tell our listeners who's involved in this case and what the backstory is.
Well, let's see. I'm here with Cletus, who is a Reverend Cron, who is part of editor of NUG Magazine. It's a marijuana magazine, medical marijuana magazine down here in San Diego. And Reverend Cron, back in February, his medical dispensary was raided. It was raided by local police, which is really strange because this is all legal. Medical marijuana is legal in California. These were laws set up to make it a safe industry. And here he was raided. And then after that raid, he was told that it's more, they don't want storefronts on their streets here in San Diego.
Okay.
The delivery service is okay. So he started up a delivery service providing patients with their medicine. And then 2 months later, they raided him again on this delivery medical service that they said he could have. So today's is preliminary. We're here with a bunch of protesters and patients that are just totally outraged and upset at what is going on here in San Diego.
Yeah.
It's like the local police here just don't believe the laws that are in place are real, or they just are bringing their own opinions into it.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really frustrating, and I'm just out here trying to do my part to support what is right for the patients and right for the community and right for the world.
Sure thing. And so this is local police there in San Diego. Is this San Diego County or San Diego City?
I'm still learning things about the case, and one of the things, what it sounds like, is the DEA deputizes some local police so they can kind of give them permission to go ahead and do these raids, but the DEA doesn't want to do the raids themselves because President Obama stepped up and said, don't raid California anymore. Let California deal with their own Prop 215 issues. Those have been, the people voted for that to be legal. Let the state be. And it's just, it's politics. It's stuff I don't understand. I'm boggled. My head hurts and my heart hurts.
Yeah.
From what's going on.
Now, is there any indication as to what the charges are, what they're charging him with here?
Yeah, distribution, selling, selling illegal drugs.
So their prosecutorial stance here is that it wasn't medical, it wasn't authorized under Prop 215?
Yeah, they were trying to say it's, because it's the industry set up to be a nonprofit organization, and they're saying he was doing it for profit.
Ah, okay.
Which is completely false, and he has complete records. Another gentleman approached me, I can't remember his name, but he actually has footage of the undercover officer coming in and him verifying, him calling the doctor, verifying this person's recommendation, all legal, on videotape. You can find it on YouTube. I'll have to get that information. If you go to henryhemp.com in a couple days, that information will be up there. It's amazing stuff's going on.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm boggled. You know, I've only been on this this mission. I guess I was younger, and I always just followed my parents, and they tried to convince me it was bad, and so I was kind of taught that it was bad, and always had paranoia and stuff. But a year ago, a good friend of mine, Terry Joyce and DeJay Coutier, they invited me to come help with their float, Cannabis Saves Lives, and we won the grand prize on this float, and that was the day Henry Hemp was born. I think it was June 8th, 2008.
All right.
It is a little over a year later, and I just walked through the San Diego courthouse as Henry with my big hemp leaf on my head.
That's great.
And I wish we could have had a video camera for that to show you guys.
All right, thanks, Henry, for that report. And DeJay, just coming back to you, there was something I saw on the news the other day. I can't remember which special it was, but there was some newsman talking about there's more dispensaries in L.A. than there are McDonald's and Starbucks. And you've got an interesting statistic about that you'd like to tell the people.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting situation here. And it really, you know, it could happen in any big city where the legislative officials don't stay on top of their own codes and laws. And that's kind of what we've seen here in Los Angeles, is the city has been very weak in its enforcement of the interim control ordinance. Of course, that was supposed to allow the dispensaries that were here before, you know, 4 or 5 years ago to register, and then no new dispensaries were supposed to open until they drafted regulations. Well, since the city never really instituted any enforcement, many, many opportunistic people have opened, filed a hardship, and things of that nature, and we're seeing the city now try to scramble to gain some sense and control over the situation. The Planning and Land Use Management Committee had 29 hearings last week on dispensaries, and 28 of them were denied. So we've got this very interesting tug of war that's actually begun in Los Angeles regarding the enforcement end of trying to mitigate the needs of the patients and the complaints of the neighbors about the number of dispensaries that have popped up all over the city.
Is there any estimate to how many there are in the city now?
It's estimated that there are over 1,000, and that's because the city acknowledges that they have, you know, well over 800 hardships filed. We know, you know, how many original dispensaries there are, and we can average about how many hardship applications are being filed each day. That would easily put LA at somewhere between 900 and 1,000 dispensaries right now.
Yeah, and this is something we really need to get a handle on, because we don't want, you know, unscrupulous dispensary owners, you know, muddying up the situation and making the whole system look bad through this
Absolutely.
Lack of enforcement.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, the patients are the ones caught in the crossfire, because this is, of course, no fault of the patients whatsoever, and it's really a problem with the city of Los Angeles and their inability to enforce not just this issue. I mean, it's not like Los Angeles is only dropping the ball on medical marijuana. they're not able to enforce ICOs on the what they're calling the illegal signs, and they're having potentially being sued by the unions for furloughs and things of that nature. Los Angeles has a lot of problems, and unfortunately, medical marijuana is a small one, but it's one of those topics that, as you know, Russ, it always becomes the scapegoat.
Yeah, sure does. Well, that's interesting, DJ, and we'll keep up on that. And before we go, before we wrap things up, I want to give Terry another chance here to chime in if you've got any gigs coming up or anything we need to know about.
I do have a few gigs coming up. Every Wednesday night, if you're in the Los Angeles area, I'm at Fay Dodo at 9 p.m. We have a ladies' night comedy show happening. There's some live music. It's 5257 Adams Boulevard. And also check out Hardcore Circus XXX. The video that I did is now out and available. And we've been getting really, really great reviews. They're calling it a masterpiece.
Oh, wow.
And, which is exciting. just one last thought. You know, there was a case here. I don't know if I should like really talk about it, but it had to do with marijuana. And, it was kind of interesting to hear them say, and we smoked marijuana, and then we asked if there was marijuana, and there was marijuana. And it's just, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, and then they talk about how like it's okay to have smoked it, but you can't possess it.
Right.
So it's not a felony to smoke it, but then how do you smoke it without possessing it?
Right.
Is what the judge said. And then I wanted to raise my hand and go, hey, what about medical marijuana? But you know, of course, I'm not supposed to be speaking out right now.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll get those gigs up on the stash as well if people want to check those out, and they can get all the addresses and the information that you mentioned. I want to thank Terry Joyce and DJ Kuti and also Henry Hemp for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service moment for Norm.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. We're listening to 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Rock Song, Not Backing Down, by Winter Springs, this Rockin' Thursday. Winter Springs has been described in the media as, quote, one of the most promising independent artists coming from the U.S. right now, end quote. Whilst with her former popular band Seminole County, Winter Springs had successful tours across Europe and Asia and performed at the Grammy Award Showcase. Winter Springs is an outstanding songwriter and vibrant performer. She has received awards from the Toronto Music Awards, the LA Music Awards, and the Marijuana Music Awards. To keep updated about Winter Springs, check out myspace.com/WinterSpringsMusic. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Winter Springs with Not Backing Down.
I took my chances knowing it'd be over. I now know how this is playing out for me. Now I'm seeing this is something that's gonna be. I didn't believe, now it's feeling like closure. I see that things are working out for me. I'll take a second.
You that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at Normal, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at normal, NORML.org.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Cannabis Conversations. We're always following stories of marijuana consumers and people that get caught up in the legal system here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, and the craziness of our drug laws oftentimes leads to some very strange situations with regard to the law and people that are doing their best to try to follow it. Joining us here now to tell one of these stories is Norma Sapp, and she's the executive director of Oklahoma Normal. You can find them at oknormal.org. And Norma, welcome back to the Stash.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm doing good, but one man who's not doing so well is a man you emailed me about by the name of Will Foster. According to your email here, and just going back over the email that I'm looking at here, originally he was sentenced to 93 years in prison in Oklahoma. How did that come about?
He got busted for growing a very small little patch. I mean, I think there was like 13 small plants. And I believe they were even clones. They had just gotten started off. And anyway, 93 years is what he got. And but while he was in there, he was such a model prisoner that he had just glowing recommendations when he came up for his first parole. So he got paroled, and he paroled to California, of course.
Okay.
And while he was in California, twice now, he has been locked up for other reasons. And when they, you know, when they run his driver's license for whatever reason, the first time happened to be an activist situation, and the sheriff didn't like his mouth, and so he ran his information and found out that there was a hold on him from Oklahoma. The problem is that once he went to California and got monitored there by their parole office, they only monitor for a certain length of time for this kind of an offense. And so they dropped him off the rolls, and Oklahoma didn't like that. They wanted him monitored until the end of his sentence, which was 2011.
Now, can I ask a question at this point? If Oklahoma doesn't like the way California monitors its parolees, what are they doing letting their parolees go to California?
You know, that's a good question. he's actually asking that in a legal form. I believe on August 3rd or something like that, he's going back to court. He was just in court yesterday on a habeas corpus hearing. The judge did decide to hear it, and he'll go back in August for those kinds of questions to be answered.
Okay.
But while he's been in this situation, and the charges were dropped on him, by the way, for what he was locked up for this time, it was a community thing, I guess, in his area. They were arresting medical marijuana grow operations, and because they couldn't get him on state law, they were putting in methamphetamine. There was 20 different people that they found out over this last year, because, you know, he's been locked up for about 14 or 15 months now.
So this is the police planting methamphetamine?
Yes, the police planting things in his home, and it happened to 20 others as well. And once this was revealed, there was a lot of activists that made big, you know, to-do about it, and his wife actually wrote a big letter to the editor that was printed in the paper that named names of officers and what they said, because she heard them conspiring to hide this.
Oh.
Yeah, well, okay. They decided to drop all charges. They've worked their way down and worked their way down and worked their way down, and then finally says, we're just dropping all charges. So now, you know, he's still locked up waiting for Oklahoma to come get him. And in the meantime, when they redid or took a look at his jacket here, they decided that they made a mistake in the figuring and that he wasn't just supposed to be paroling until 2011. It should be 2015. Well, he decided he was not going to sign that. His lawyer advised him not to. And, you know, like it's not his fault that they made a mistake. And, you know, whose fault is it? I don't know. But anyway, so because he wouldn't sign it, he actually was talking to the interstate transport guy here in Oklahoma, and that man got so huffy with him, and he threatened to keep him on, or actually go and get him, put him in the prison here, and keep him imprisoned until 2025.
Hmm. Okay, so the state of Oklahoma now wants to get this Will Foster fella. They want to bring him back to Oklahoma to serve the rest of his 93-year sentence. Is that the gist of this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. But yet he's such a model prisoner. They sent him off to California because he was such a good guy, and they put him on parole. And it's because of these trumped up, conspiring officers getting involved here that's now threatening to send him back to prison.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the other case. It's
okay.
Just that he happened to get locked up.
Oh, I see. And then when Oklahoma caught that.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they contacted Oklahoma because, you know, it's on the nationwide server that he's on parole.
Yeah.
And actually, they were the wording that they used in one document that was given to our governor said that he fled to Oklahoma or to California from Oklahoma, that he's a fugitive, and that's not so.
Right. He was sent there or let go there by the state.
Let go there, yes.
So where are we at now as far as Oklahoma's case goes here? Have they gotten him back? Is Will still in California?
He's still in California, Sonoma County. And in my experience, Oklahoma never goes and gets their prisoners from out of state. Now, maybe they do on a murder case or something like that, but I've had many people call me from other states, and they sit in the jail for 6 months to a year awaiting Oklahoma's extradition office. They never come, and finally a judge will hear it and hear it and hear it and say, let him go. I don't want to see this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then what we're possibly looking at here for Will is sitting in a jail for 6 months for no good reason until California realizes Oklahoma's not going to do anything.
I think they already realize that. Because one of the judges has mentioned that if they didn't come in 2 weeks, that he was going to just turn him loose. And so that now he's not going before that judge right now. That was in an earlier area. But this judge that he saw yesterday has decided to hear his habeas corpus appeal. And so they will be, you know, in August, they will be hearing that. And I'm sure that that will show, you know, good cause for him to be turned loose.
Yeah. Because
he's got all of his documents. He's made every one of his parole fees and payments that he's supposed to do. They've accepted them. He's not done anything. So there's no reason. And we're 99-point-something% full here anyway. Why would we want to spend the time, effort, and money to go get him?
Exactly. So what can we do, Norma, to tell our listeners here how they can help this Will Foster case?
Call Governor Henry in Oklahoma. And I'm sorry I'm not in a place right now to tell you what his phone number is, but you can find it online, Oklahoma's Governor Henry, and he has a website. Call him and say, sign, you know, release Will Foster. You know, his case is, he does not need to be extradited back to Oklahoma and be incarcerated.
How much time did he spend in Oklahoma before he was paroled?
I believe he was in actually for 5 years, maybe it was six. And during that time, he won on part of his appeals process. 49 years of it was dropped off.
Ah.
So
okay.
That's why he got out so early.
I see.
But they could lock him back up for 2025 to complete the rest of that sentence.
Yeah, I was going to say, we went down from, what, 93 years to like 40 years or something?
Yeah, right.
God. Oh, it's an insane, insane situation, Norma, and I'm glad you're down there in Oklahoma helping people out with it. I want to encourage everyone, check out the Oklahoma government website and find Governor Henry's number. I'll look it up and add it to the post here so people can dial if they're listening on their iPods or whatever, and tell them to just release Will Foster, set Will Foster to time served. You know, he's already done 6 years or so. He's already complied with parole. He's already been a model prisoner. Let the man loose. This is ridiculous. Well, Norma, thank you so much for joining us here on The Stash. And before I let you go, anything else you'd like to tell our listeners or any events coming up for Oklahoma Normal or anything?
No, but I do want people to know that there's a new chapter in Tulsa, and Garrett Overstreet is overseeing that. He has had record amounts of people come. I think the highest now has been 149 people came to his meetings. And I believe he's about to have his eighth meeting now. It looks like it's really going to be a big chapter.
All right. We're getting that official paperwork in here in the Washington, D.C. office as well, going forth with the official announcement here maybe in a week or two. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that, too.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you, Norma Sapp from Oklahoma Normal, oknormal.org. Thanks for joining us here on The Stash.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with wishes that you have a happy three-day weekend for this federal 4th of July holiday, if you're listening to me in the United States. And if you're not listening to me in the United States, have a nice Friday. I'm headed up to the Olympic Peninsula in the state of Washington for a family annual campout with my wife's family. So I'll be hanging out with all the in-laws. Should be a lot of fun. Taking Roscoe, the official dog of the Stash, and Peppy, our other dog, up there to the Olympic Peninsula. It's a beautiful place. If you've never been up there around Port Angeles, Washington, wow, talk about gorgeous. We'll be back on Monday with more Normal Daily Audio Stash. I've got some posts in the hopper there that should be appearing during Friday if you are stuck at work or somewhere outside of the United States and have to work. Or if you just have a bad boss that won't give you the day off for Friday, you'll have plenty of stash to read. And remember, no matter how angry we get sometimes here in America that we live in the land of the free and yet we're imprisoned for smoking a plant, remember that it's still a great country. We still have our freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, and freedom to petition our government for a redress of our grievances. And we're going to keep doing it every day here at Normal and the Normal Daily Audio Stash. And with the support of freedom-loving citizens like you, the end of adult marijuana prohibition is not that far away. Thanks for downloading the podcast. I'll talk to you again next week. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.